bid you welcome to our second Lenten Vespers service. There's still some copies of the Lenten devotional booklet if you want to take one home and use it during the season of Lent. Today our focus is we must all make confession. Next week our focus will be I Caused Your Grief, and the theme is Upon the Cross Extended. Join us each week at 6:30 for soup and for Vespers at 7:30. God bless us as we focus on Jesus upon the cross extended. Turn to page 229. 229, Vespers, please stand.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Six in the front of your hymnal, responsibly by whole verse, Psalm 6.
O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath.
Holy Mountain, hymn 435. You may be seated.
Amen.
account, Judas betrays Jesus. Judas, one of the 12 who was betraying him, also knew the place where Jesus and his disciples often gathered. So Judas took a troop of soldiers and temple guards from the ruling priests, scribes, and elders of the people. Just then, while Jesus was still talking, they came, a large crowd with lanterns and torches, swords and clubs. The traitor had given them a signal. He said, "The one I kiss is the man. Seize him, take him away, do not let him escape." Now Jesus went out knowing exactly what was going to happen to him. "Who is it that you are looking for?" he asked them. "Jesus from Nazareth," they answered. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, who was betraying him, was standing with them. When Jesus told them, "I am he," they backed away and they all fell to the ground. He asked them again, "Who is it that you are looking for?" "Jesus from Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you, I am he. So if I am the one you want, let these go." In this way, that which he had said was fulfilled. "I will lose none of those whom you gave me." Then Judas, who was leading them, quickly stepped up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. "Friend, do what you've come for," Jesus said to him. "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" The men around Jesus, seeing what was going to happen, asked, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" The others came forward, took hold of Jesus, and arrested him. Simon Peter, one of those standing near Jesus, reached out for his sword and drew it. He struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said, "None of this," and touching his ear, he healed him. Jesus told Peter, "Put your sword away, for all who take the sword will die for the sword. Or do you not think that I could call my Father to send now 12 legions of angels? But how then are the scriptures fulfilled, which say this must happen? The cup my Father gave me, I must drink." Jesus said to the crowd of ruling priests, captains, elders who had come to him, "Do you come out to me to take me as a prisoner with swords and clubs as if I was a robber? Day after day I was with you. I sat and I taught in the temple, and you laid no hands on me. You did not arrest me. But this is your time when darkness rules. All this is happening so what the prophets have written would be fulfilled." Then all of his disciples left him and ran away. A certain young man who was following him had nothing on but a linen cloth. They tried to grab him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. So the troop of soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish temple guards arrested Jesus, bound him, led him away, and took him to the high priest's palace. They took him first to Annas because he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews, "It is better that one man should die for all the people." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Lenten verse, page 231.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me.
Grace and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we are to understand why Judas betrayed his Lord, we must first consider who he was. Judas was not some new man. He did not arrive the day before. He was one of the 12. He was one of the men who had been with Jesus throughout his ministry. He was one who heard all of Jesus' teachings. He saw most of the miracles. He was one of the men that Jesus sent out to preach his gospel and to work miracles. And the scriptures offer us no reason to think he was unable to do so. And despite all of this, Judas betrayed Jesus. He was one of the men that first received Holy Communion, one of the first to eat his body, drink his blood, and he still handed Jesus over. The language the Bible uses for the betrayal is the language of a transaction. Jesus handed over, Judas handed over Jesus, like a butcher hands over a side of beef. The deal between him and the Pharisees is all business. There's nothing personal about it. In the end, Judas chose a love of profit over the love for his Lord. Do not presume that Judas was unique in this lack of faith. Many who heard Jesus speak did not believe. They took offense to what Jesus said. Judas was one of them. What makes Judas unique is not that he lacked faith, but that he sought to profit from it. Judas knew the Sanhedrin wanted Jesus dead, and he was more than happy to help them with that for a bag full of silver. St. Paul says that no one can call Jesus Lord unless he has the Holy Spirit. And it is notable that the last time Judas speaks to Jesus, he did not call him Lord. The disciples called Jesus Lord. That was the title they used for him. What Judas said was Rabbi, teacher. This is the word that the world uses to describe Jesus. It allows them to hold Jesus at an arm's length, to acknowledge his wisdom and his teachings without ever having to acknowledge exactly who he is. Those who do not believe in Jesus call him teacher, because you can disagree with a teacher. Those who trust in Christ call him Lord. Perhaps Judas would have been struck by his conscience if he said Lord. Perhaps the Satan, who was in his heart at that time, kept his tongue silent so that he could not call upon the name of the Lord. Whatever the case may be, Judas did betray our Lord, and we may be tempted to look down upon him for that. Because none of us personally handed Jesus over. None of us personally betrayed Christ. Or have we? Who is it, Lord, that bruised you? Who has sore abused you and caused you all your woe? We all must make confession of sin and dire transgression, while you, Jesus, know ways of evil. No. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you the truth. When you sin, you betray Christ. When we sin, we all betray Christ. We who claim to have Jesus' name on us, we who claim to be of his Spirit, when we sin, we hand him over. We say to him, Lord, I know your promises, but the world and its prince have a better offer. We make the same decision that Judas made. It's nothing for the world to sin. It's part of its nature. It's not good. It's in fact evil. But no one's surprised by it. It's when a Christian sins knowingly That is a horror. It's a terror. This is what sin is for us. It's a horrible thing. This desire to sin, despite having God's Spirit within us, we call this original sin. We call this the old Adam within us. This desire to still go against God's will. And we must bear it all our lives as long as we walk this earth. This is a terrible burden. But thanks be to God, we don't have to carry it alone. We have betrayed our Lord, but our God is merciful. He is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He does not answer our betrayal with hate, with condemnation, with destruction. He answers it with love. Jesus did not come to save good men. He came to save sinners. He did not come to give rewards to the righteous. He came with a cure for unrighteousness. Luther tells us that we must drown the old Adam every day with repentance and contrition, so that the new man, born of water, may emerge. This new man was not created by us. We did not make him. This new man was born of the water of baptism. The repentance that we have, this is not something that we have done ourselves. It was something that was given to us through the Spirit, through faith in Christ. Through the faith that in His blood all sins are forgiven. Even our betrayals are forgiven. Christ carried them all to the cross. Because Christ, who is innocent, did not fight His captors, He healed them. He did not strike down Judas or condemn him with a word. He called him friend. He allowed him to be betrayed. He did not call down the legions of angels that were at His command to strike down the mob. He simply told them the truth. When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. He allowed all of these things to happen so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, that righteousness and goodness and mercy might flow, that sins might be forgiven, even the very sins that put Jesus on the cross. Caiaphas inadvertently spoke the truth. It is far better for one man to die for the sake of the people, so that through that one death, all have life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
We continue on page 231 with the canticle, the Magnificat that we chant. Page 231, we stand to sing.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly
gather the offerings, fill out the ritual of friendship, put the sheet in the basket as you leave. We gather the offerings, you may be seated. Kyrie, page 233. We stand to sing.
Holy Spirit, be with you all.